You're listening to Alan Brazil Up Front, exclusively on Audio Boom. Hello and welcome to Alan Up Front on Audio Boom. This is an FA Cup special. Top man Ray Parler, 5 times in cup finals, 4 wins. Ray, how are you?
How you doing, Al?
Good to see you,
mate. Absolutely.
That's an amazing record, 5 FA Cup finals, 4 wins.
Well, believe it or not, as a kid, you was always hoping one day, you know, to play for Arsenal, firstly.
But you were a West Ham fan.
But, yeah,
I
remember the 98 Cup finals, to be fair, when West Ham beat Arsenal. My dad was over the moon. It's unbelievable, running around the house, jumping up and down. But to play in a cup final was a great honour.
Yeah.
1993 was my first one. Then just thinking, well, to score in a cup final, it was a very special moment. So, you know, I've been very lucky in that respect. I played in 5 FA Cup finals. Looking at the games, 93, 98, 202, 203, and obviously the 201 we lost. So yeah. I was lucky to win. Liverpool.
Yeah.
Michael Owen, them last 2 goals, fantastic goals. So, you know, it's such a great day, not just for the players, not just for the staff, for everybody involved in the club.
So why am I thinking Villa have got a chance, Ray? Because, you know, the Birmingham City League Cup, yeah, it was a League Cup. Alex McLeish 1-0. And then the Hull game, semi-final, Hull give you a massive scare.
Yeah, they did. I mean, we was in Singapore, I think, Al, watching the game, and I remember them going 2-0 up.
Cricket club.
It was indeed, yeah. I mean, you couldn't get you out of the seat for about 10 hours. But it was one of them.
It was humid.
I was very professional. Moved on to the next bar to watch the game properly, and I couldn't believe what I've seen. 2-0 down. Thinking, how can they come back from this? But the goal Cazorla scored just before half time was very important.
That was key.
Because Steve Bruce's team talk would have been totally different. Going in at 2-0, sharp shot, just defend for your lives. But 2-1, you're thinking, well, maybe we have to come out a little bit still. So totally different team talk. But yeah, I mean, I think it's all about the start. Saturday, and you know, it's always a great occasion. I think the stadium would be absolutely rocking. Aston Villa, I mean, they're coming down from Birmingham. They've had a season of their lives, really, thinking about it. It looked like they was going to go down.
Yeah, they changed
their manager. Suddenly, he's got them really playing well. He's got Benteke, who's the main man. Everybody's after him at the moment. We know that in the transfer market. He's playing out of his skin. And he probably looked
at a shop window for him. Let's not forget, because speculation Liverpool are going to go for him. United might, because Falcao, RVP are not the answer. Chelsea might.
We mentioned Chelsea, yeah, definitely. I think Chelsea, Drogba leaving. You know, Remy's there. We know about Diego Costa, but they certainly need another top striker. If they're going to challenge in Europe, challenge in the Premier League. So lots of clubs are being for Benteke, and what an opportunity for him.
Yeah.
Look, I'm sure he'll play Mertesacker. You know, he's one of them where Koscielny's a good defender for Arsenal. Mertesacker's had his problems this season.
With Wenger, is the type of man to see set pieces. You mark Benteke, or you, would he say to Koscielny, you know, I know that the height is with Mertesacker, but would he say you're mobile?
But his movement, I think the movement would be key to it. I mean, Koscielny, I think he's the main defender.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they'll put him on their main players. And Benteke, I think Arsenal will look at it and say, well, OK, let's start the game on the front foot. Villa will be saying, right, let's defend well. We will get a chance.
Yeah.
And I think set plays might be key as well. When
you
look
at
set plays.
Goal, what if Arsenal, for me, Ray, Arsenal score the first goal, they're going to win the game comfortably.
Yeah.
Villa get one, game on.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's all about the defending and how well they can defend. I think Tim Sherwood has got two, you know, he can play two different ways. You know, he can go out and say, like, we can throw him in forward and take a chance. But also, defensively, they can really, you know, be solid in midfield. Forward can drop back in the way they play. So I think it's a really tricky game to call. And I think Arsenal, at the moment, you know, are big favourites. But we saw last year, you know, Hull were massive outsiders, got the 2-goal lead. Maybe if that happens again, I don't think Villa lose from there.
Strange. Birmingham beat Arsenal. League Cup went down. Hull give Arsenal a scare. They've gone down this year.
Well, What I can say about
Arsenal, do they not like Wembley?
What I can say about it, though, Al, is that, you know, it's a situation where I think the players will have learnt a lot from last year. I always say the first trophy as a team is always the hardest to win. once you win that first trophy, you get the parade after. And they loved it. They loved every single minute of the parade and everything to do with winning a trophy. So maybe that stands him in good stead to say, look, lads, come on, this is a massive game. I think the foreign players know how big the game is as well, because, you know, as an Englishman, we was brought up to watch every single FA Cup final, and it was a very special moment just to get into semi-final.
The foreigners understand the importance of the fans. For instance, I can imagine a few foreigners for Tottenham and Arsenal. When Spurs come down Seven Sisters to play Arsenal and vice versa, oh, this is nice. This is a little short visit. Do they understand what it means to the fans?
Well, absolutely. And we always said, we got into the foreign players early doors. I mean, Patrick Vieira, when he first turned up, Petit. What was the big game? I said, well, probably the biggest game is Manchester United. Mm. But the most crucial game for the supporters is definitely Spurs. And you make sure you win that first tackle. We're playing at White Hart Lane.
Yep.
You make sure you go through someone first tackle and the fans are like you. And he was like, whoa, okay.
It's important getting that over to the foreign players. But I remember you getting some points over to Thierry Henry, Ray. You know, and he went on an interview after the game. Well, my first goal was a great goal. My second goal, I was unlucky. I hit the beans on toast.
Yep.
What?
Yeah. Oh, no, that was a bit of slang we was using then. I was trying to... See, I was the boy in the dressing room, or man in the dressing room, to say, right, lads, where do we go? All the foreign lads, what restaurants? What this? Where can we go for a night out? So Thierry, I was obviously number 14, I was number 15. We sat next to each other, and he used to look at you like puzzled sometimes when we was having a chat, all the English boys. But he used to love the banter. I loved it because probably in France or Italy, it wasn't the same banter. It was like a family when you're in England, and they couldn't understand that at times. And we just said, look, we are a big family. We're all going to go forward together. We are going to win together and we're going to lose together. And I was like, wow, this is great. But then we obviously got a bit, you know, they enjoyed our company. And then it was coming out with slang words like apples and pears up the stairs. Me dog and bones going, what's that? That's me phone. And then he's looking at me. We used to call Terry Emery. We used to call him. But Thierry's like that. But Dennis knew the banter then because he turned up 96. Thierry turned up 99. Then all of a sudden, I said, Thierry, you was unlucky there. I think we done it in training one day. You hit the post. Thierry, you're so unlucky, you hit the beans on. What? What is this? Beans on toast. What? Beans on toast? Post. And then I said, Thierry, one day we're going to get an opportunity in an interview after the game. If you hit the post and you score and we're in the same interview, we got to say it. Okay. And we forgot all about it. And this one occasion, it was a home game. I can't remember the game now. And he scored the only goal of the game. I got man of the match. So now we've got a perfect opportunity. So we're walking. As I'm walking down the in Highbury, walking up the little marble, the stairs, into the little, you used to chuck a little right, and then that's where they did the interviews. So Thierry, this is our opportunity. Beans on toast. That's all you've got to say. So as he went to me, what a great performance. We've done this, we've done that. Yeah, fantastic. Okay, let's go to Thierry. He scored the only goal. Thierry, what do you think? He said, fantastic performance. We had a... We played so well. We defended well when we had to. But we now I got my opportunity. I hit the ball and I got so much luck because it came off the beans on toast. And I was there laughing. And this was live. I mean, people looking at me going, what is going on here? He said, beans on toast. How does he know that? He's never probably ate that in France in his life.
No.
So always a bit of fun, Al. It was that bit of banter that I think that you got to be serious, but you've got to have a little bit of banter off the field as well.
Ray, who was better? Dennis Bergkamp or Thierry?
It's so close. I mean, they'd be number one and two, probably, unless Sanchez plays 10 years running and plays like he did this season, he could maybe get in the top five. But one and two for me in the history of Arsenal so far. Mm. The only reason I go with Dennis because 96, he changed the whole format of training. People looking at Dennis Bergkamp and how he trained was unbelievable. And he really put the English lads to say, whoa, he's so much better than us. And he's staying out on the training field. He's practicing. We have to change our attitude with training as well. So that's the only reason I put him up. But certainly match changing, Thierry Henry for match changer because he could score goals out of nothing. I think the 2004 season, the unbeaten season, when he scored that hat-trick against Liverpool.
What about the goal at Newcastle? For me, I argue with people all the time. He meant that.
Oh, Dennis.
He meant that.
He done that. Well, he didn't do that that goal every day in training, but you could see what he was trying to think there. It's all about reaction as well. All about reaction.
There was great players, but you also had, I almost said bread and butter, well, that's rude. Not bread and butter. You had ferocious markers, defenders, Martin Keane.
Yes, Martin was an amazing player. I mean, the best man-to-man mark I've ever seen. Really, he was hard as
in
nails.
In training as well.
Hard as nails. He kicked Dennis Bergkamp every day in training. And Dennis would square up to him, have fights with him and all sorts. And Martin was saying, well, I'm only trying to get you used to the Premier League because you're going to get this every week. You're a foreign player coming into the... This was 96, so they probably only had Zola, Cantona, people like that. So he said, you're going to get taken from behind every single time. Tackles, studs up your the calves.
Your shins.
I'm trying to get you used to it. And Martin was like that. And I'm doing him a favour here. But they were squaring up. Dennis didn't like it. But certainly, Martin was... I remember one game we played Roma. And he's marking Totti. Mm. Francesco Totti, one of their best players.
Yeah.
At that time, he was in his prime. 24, 25. Absolutely
smashing player.
Absolutely brilliant player. And his job was to mark him. All you got to do, wherever Totti goes, you man-to-man mark him. If you stop him playing, we stop Roma. So halfway through the first half, you can see Martin elbowing him, getting him right in his face, headbutting him, and all sorts. His Totti was losing. He could tell he's getting so angry. He's saying to go in a minute. Then all of a sudden, Martin gave him another dig, and Totti just elbowed him. Bang! Yeah. Both got sent off. They had a big fight. Both got sent off. So after the game, all the lads are going. We walked in the dressing room and said, "Martin, what a great job you've done on Totti. Absolutely. What do you mean? I got sent off." I said, but Martin, he's a much better player than you. So we've had a right result. You got their best player sent off, but, you know, we can go over at you, Martin. It doesn't really matter if you get sent off.
I bet he was thinking about all night.
Martin
used to wind him up all the time. Right?
Yeah, but he was a great character, I promise you now.
Hard as nails.
One of my best mates in training. He knew when I was winding him up, he was doing it for fun.
Yeah.
Certain players, they try to wind him up, he want to knock him out sort of thing. So,
On finals then, tell me some of your... Well, you five finals, four wins, magnificent, right? Two Old Wembley, three at the Millennium.
Yeah.
Some of the highlights.
Yeah, 93 was my first one. I was a young kid, and I remember George Graham was our manager then, and we were going to a hotel for 3 days before the final. And you know, when you're going away 3 days, all you have to do is thinking about a final then. And sometimes that doesn't help you because it's too much in your mind then. So that 93 game, I had a bit of a nightmare.
Just let me pause you there. It's funny you say that, right? Too much for us. And I hear people like, people talk about England, youth team under 21s, main. We're not used to competition football when you're away for 3-4 weeks locked in a hotel. Is that something we're not used to?
Probably not.
Do you know what I mean? Stuart Pearce goes on about it all the time. We're not used to it.
Yeah.
And you've just said, you know, it can do your head in.
Yeah, well, you can think about a game too much.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was Sopwell House, and we're playing at the old Wembley, so we're only down the road anyway.
Mm.
So we stayed there 3 days, and the players, we train, and we go back to Sopwell House all together. But you're always thinking about it then. This is a cup final. Something different than what you're used to. Because usually you go a day before the game, normal game. So it was one of them sort of situations, very proud moment, walking out of Wembley, 19, 20 years old. As you walk out, you know, the atmosphere was absolutely superb. Sheffield Wednesday, did you speak Sheffield United?
They would have a big crowd, yeah.
They had a great team as well, Sheffield Wednesday. If you go back to their players they had, Hurst, Walker, Des Walker at the back. You had Chris Woods in goal.
Yep.
You had Trevor Francis as manager.
Yep.
Danny Wilson, people like that. They had a really top-class side. So it was a tough game. And then we drew the game.
That for me is similar to what's going to happen next week because... You look at Benteke, you look at Delph, who's come on a ton, young Grealish. Do you know what I mean? They've got decent players.
Yeah, well, you know, I think every single Aston Villa player has got to turn up. Who would have thought they'd beat Liverpool? Mm. I mean, the situation, as I said before, if Arsenal play like they did in the semi-final against Reading and Villa play like they do against Liverpool, it could be very close.
Yeah.
Villa could even edge it. So Arsenal got really improved their game.
Sherwood's done well for him, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's done brilliant. I mean,
he's a big Arsenal fan.
He's a big Arsenal fan. So it's a no-lose situation for Sherwood. I mean, if Villa do win, fantastic for him. Obviously, he'd be all out to Aston Villa to win the FA Cup. But if they don't win, I think his dad is a big Arsenal fan as well. He'd be delighted, his dad, I should imagine.
That's out of
But, you know, it's a situation. What a great job he's done. I mean, to keep him in the Premier League was the most important thing. But to get him to the final, I can't remember the last time they was in a final at Aston Villa. So, amazing situation.
It's going to be a great game. I'm really looking forward to it. You won't be there because you're working for TalkSport. Just tell, because you and I know each other very well now. There were some heartaches, but there was some great fun as well.
Yeah, I mean,
in some of your, you know, before the cup finals and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, one of my proudest moments, cup final, was scoring against Chelsea, 2-0-2. They had a really good team then. Absolutely. Young Frank Lampard in midfield. Petit, believe it or not, was playing centre midfield for Chelsea. Desailly, Zola, Good Johnson.
Where were you playing?
I was playing centre midfield with Patrick Vieira. We was at Millennium Stadium. Obviously, I got my goal. We ended up winning 2-0, but on the way home, it's quite funny because you're absolutely buzzing now. I mean, to play in a cup final is brilliant, but to score in a cup final, you can't believe it. So we got on the plane on the way home from Millennium Stadium. I said to stewardess, "Can I have a quick beer?" So give me a bottle of beer. Thanks very much. Just about to drink this beer. Arsene Wenger, no drinking. Big game Wednesday, Old Trafford, because it's a weird season. We had to play Manchester United on a Wednesday to get to win the league.
Yep.
So he's more or less saying,
and you needed to win.
Yeah, we had to win, really. We had two games. Draw probably been enough, but we're going to go out to win. So he said, "Look, big game Wednesday." I said, "Boss, it's only Saturday. I'll be fine by Wednesday. Only having a couple of beers. No drinking, that's it." Slips off the back of the plane. My brother's at the back. Says to my brother, Jimmy, he said, "Give us one of your beers. Just about to drink it." Wenger's walked all the way down the plane. "If I see you drinking again, 2 weeks' wage is fine." I was like, "Oh, don't really want that beer, Jimmy." No one else is drinking. But I'm buzzing. I can't believe it. So I got off the plane that night and I went to my local restaurant, which I was going there, win or lose. It didn't matter. But as I walked in, because we've won, they've got all champagne ready. They know I've got a table over there. It's already on my table. I'm thinking, well, lovely. I don't really want to drink. Next minute, you have a cup of glass. You know what it's like, Al. I'm sure you know what it's like, but what better than me. But it gets to the old taste. The next minute, we're doing tequila slammers, sambucas, all sorts. And I ended up falling out of this restaurant. Unbelievable. Went to train the next morning, and I got in there. The lads went, "You were out last night, weren't you?" I said, "Yeah, I haven't had a couple.
Just
I'm
try
all right.
to keep away from the manager."
I didn't see the manager. The manager's on a training field, so he hasn't seen me. Quick shower after me, warm down, straight home. So Wenger's not even seen me.
Yeah.
Stops off my local social club, Rush Green, which is great. It's like Phoenix Night.
This is not exactly Mayfair we're talking about.
No, we are talking.
Because I've been to Rush Green Social Club.
Yeah.
Alsatians go around in pairs.
it's like Phoenix Nights when you get in there, though. And Tony Adams used to love drinking there when he was drinking. So we walked in. What's happened? "Yes, get in there. You scored yesterday." I said, "Lads, I've had a pretty heavy night last night. I've got a big game next week.
Old Trafford.
Anyway, they went, "Have a quick pint then, because we've bet you first goal scorer, we've had you everything." So, all right then.
And
mate,
these are your buddies as
well. Yeah, my mates. So, next minute, you know, it's like, oh, you get sucked into it all, and 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 pints later, I'm still in there. I think, I better go home now. I've got a big game Wednesday, Old Trafford. So, I'll get home. Anyway, we get to Wednesday night, play at Old Trafford. And what happens? I get man of the match. I have a blinder. We win 1-0, Wiltord scores. So after the game, as I'm walking up to the dressing room, you're absolutely buzzing and get even more. I mean, Sky Sports.
Well, what a week.
I said, you know, if you can get a better week.
No, treble winning the FA Cup, beating United Old Trafford and Rush Green Social Club.
Oh, so Rush Green Social Club was up there with, I don't know where that comes, second or first, I don't know. But just getting to the, doing the interview, they give me a big bottle of champagne.
Ooh.
So as I walk into the dressing room, I think, oh, what a week. How did I get away with that, lads? What a week I've had. Arsene Wenger, I want a word with you. So I'm like, all right, boss. So
someone's bubbled you up.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm thinking, someone in that restaurant, I fell over two tables on the way out. I'm going to get...
Worried maybe one of Arsene's best friends was in Rush Green Social Club.
He definitely wouldn't be in Rush Green Social Club. But I'm thinking, I'm going to get done here. I'm going to have a nightmare. 2 weeks' wages I'm expecting. And he looked at me, he said, "You was fantastic tonight. You and Patrick Vieira in that midfield, they tried to kick us. We stood up to them and bang, bang, bang." And I went, "Boss, what a week I've had. I can't believe it. Unbelievable. Scoring a cup final, get man of match at Old Trafford. To win the double is an amazing week for me." And he looked around, he went, "Do you know what it was?" I said, "No, boss." He went, "I stopped you drinking that beer on that plane." So I went, Yes, boss, that's why you're the best manager I've ever had. So he ain't that good, is he? I mean, hell.
he is
really that good.
He might tune into Audio Boom. Be careful.
No, he is that good.
But you have beautiful moments in that in football, don't you?
When you just don't realise.
Maybe you've gone off the beaten track a wee bit. I've done it loads. Well, not loads. Maybe more than a
every shift. Week.
No, but my best year, Ray, wasn't a cup final, but 28 goals, 81. And we won the UEFA Cup final. And I remember the quarter final, without getting away from the FA Cup, this is UEFA Cup quarter final. Tuesday night, we go for a walk. We're playing Saint Etienne. Hmm. And they've never lost an English team, a British team in France. It's not far from Lyon, but they've got a hell of a team. We've got Battiston, Rocheteau. Remember the French George Best? A bit before your time.
Yeah.
Platini, Johnny Rep. And we were so nervous, quarter final. And we went for a walk and we found this little bar we called Uncle Tom's Cabin. And Bobby Robson caught us going out. He said, "Oi, hey, where you going?" "Boss, the hotel's too hot. We're nervous. We'll go and have a nice walk, but behave yourselves." We found this little bar, Uncle Tom's Cabin. The jukebox was magic. So we're having a game of cards, a couple of, son teams or whatever it is in the jukebox, and a couple of halves of beer, but the music was so good. And we'd,
you get the taste of it, you get the taste.
I was waiting for Cantona to walk in. And the locals are going, "Hey, sweet, tomorrow, sank, Platini."
Was you a farmer as well? Was you a farmer?
It was magic, right? And then we went back and Bobby said, "Right, you've been gone 2 hours. Where you been?" And we're trying not to breathe. But that night, I tell you what, 40,000, full bomb. Platini took a corner. Johnny Rep, bang, 1-0. We went down first 2 minutes, 1-0. We gubbed them 4-1. We battered them 4-1.
Say.
Back to Uncle Tom's Cabin. You couldn't buy a drink all night. Get in there.
That's what it's all about, though. Team spirit and getting away. I don't think you can get away with that now, Al. I mean,
so what's going to happen? So we've got Wenger against Sherwood. He's very confident, isn't he? He will not be shaken around that, Sherwood.
Well, sometimes when you're the underdog, it works better for you because, you say to the players, "Look, we've done what we had to do this year." I don't think the finish to the season didn't help them. I mean, conceding
didn't help,
six.
But it was not their team.
You can't turn it on and off, I don't think. I think you should have finished them last two games very well. Maybe got a draw at Southampton, won the last game. They lost to Burnley, the last game of the season. So it didn't really finish well for them. So it's whether they're the right mentality. But look, it's an FA Cup final. Some of these players will never play in another one.
No.
Who's playing for Villa. So what an opportunity to have a great day.
Let's not forget Villa finished 17th. Arsenal finished third. It should be a no-brainer.
It should be, but it doesn't work like that, Al.
No.
When it's a one-off game, you never know.
Who's going to play in goal for Arsenal?
I think it'd be Ospina. I think he'd stick with Ospina. I know Szczesny's played a lot of the games as well in the FA Cup, but I don't know. It's a really tough one to call because Fabianski, he went with him when Szczesny was the main one.
Yeah,
he stayed with Fabianski all the way. So it'd be interesting to see what he does there. Big decision he's got to make. Welbeck's going to be out, so he as a player. Theo Walcott scored a hat trick at the weekend.
Will Jack play?
I will play Jack. I thought he had a brilliant game the other day against West Brom and Gerald in the last game of the season. Going past players, setting players.
You know how they tell me set up to come to Arsenal. Vidal. Sanchez's mate. Now, he's obviously got the Champions League final.
Yeah.
I'm told the deal's almost done. Vidal's coming to Arsenal.
Well, that'd be great. I mean, great energy. Gets his foot in, which they need in midfield. And the good thing about Vidal, he knows exactly what it's going to be like because Sanchez is a good mate of Chile. He will phone him up and say, "What's it like?" He says, "Fantastic." Sanchez has loved every minute playing for Arsenal.
And rightly so.
And he's scored lots
energy.
Of goals. Yeah, he's been
commitment. A... commitment.
Do you know what? He's like that in training as well. I talked to Steve Bould and a few of the guys training. He said, "Do you know what? He's 100 mile an hour in training. He loves it. He just loves playing football."
Yeah.
So he will say to Vidal, "Look, it's a great club, great setup, great training ground, great place to live. You got to come."
Yeah.
So that could be the
I think it'd be a great buy.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm told Raheem Sterling wants to come to Arsenal, not Man City. Ray, I'm not going to keep you apart from a prediction.
Well, I'm going to go with Arsenal. I think that they will learn from a lot last season. I mean, they're going two goals behind. They've won the trophy, more experience in the team, playing at Wembley. So I don't think it'd be. I think it'd be quite close. It ain't going to be an easy game for us.
2-0,
2-1. It's not going to be like Preston in the playoffs or something like that. I'm going to go probably for 2-0 win for Arsenal.
There
clean
you go.
Sheet.
Ray, enjoy. Ray Parler on Alan Brazil up front and Audio Boom. Enjoy.
Cheers, Al.
Brought to you by Audio Boom.